This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, the shark bait has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. If someone's sneaking round the corner, could that someone be Mac the Knife?
Oh, yeah, do you remember that song? That's the great Bobby Darin, Mac the Knife. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, our musical director. He picks out all our songs, by the way, and I love his work. Thank you for being with us. It is Friday, halfway through the month, March 15th, and we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be with us, and we are going to talk about whether or not to divest TikTok from its Chinese owners. Jessica, not so sure that Washington should intercede in this particular situation, so stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And Fannie Willis gets to stay on in the case against Donald Trump in that Georgia voting rights trial. That is if she gets rid of her lover boyfriend, the prosecuting attorney. We're going to give you the details on that as well. It's an ongoing story this morning. And are automakers tracking your driving habits and then sending the info to your insurance company? Have you heard about this? It looks like they are in some cases. And we're going to talk about it, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 cities with the highest obesity rates. That'll be towards the end of the show, so stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Men for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. Make a beeline to Dunedin and to the Overcash Plaza for Andrew's Master Barbershop. That is just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. If you have anything that you need done, either to a tree, with a tree, or in spite of a tree, call Arbor Life. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service, whether it's enhancement of trees, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever it is, they are the best. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, this morning, a Georgia judge, his ruling has come out. It says that embattled Georgia Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis must either step aside from the case against Donald Trump or fire her former lover, Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. This is Scott McAfee, and I kind of worried about this guy. He's up for election. That's all you got to know about this ruling. Because I think any judge worth his salt would say that she was lying when she said she had no relationship before she took on the case of Donald Trump with this guy. But Scott McAfee is the judge. He issued the ruling after hearing evidence presented by lawyers for the co-defendants of Donald Trump in this election interference case going back to 2020. Four co-defendants accused Willis of having an improper affair with Nathan Webb, whom she hired to help prosecute the case. So the judge says, well, all right, Fanny, you either leave with Wade or he leaves, but he has to go. Last month, McAfee held a two-day evidentiary hearing where the defense set out to expose a money trail that would show that Willis had a conflict of interest in the case against Trump and should be disqualified. Both Willis and her boyfriend at that time, I don't think he is her boyfriend anymore from what I understand, but both Willis and Wade insisted that their relationship started after she was assigned the case. And they contradicted testimony from other people that knew about the relationship. Quite a few, as a matter of fact. So this is a bit of a surprise, but in some ways, not so much. And I don't know what the detail would be now, whether or not these co-defendants can say, look, we're going to take it to a higher court because we don't feel that Fannie Willis should be overseeing this case whatsoever, no matter what. See, I think this judge is trying to play both sides against the middle here a little bit, right? Doesn't want to get rid of Fannie Willis directly. But you know what? Everybody knows that she was being untruthful on the stand when she said that she did not have a relationship, a romantic or sexual, whatever you want to call it, relationship with this prosecutor ahead of time. She claimed, well, I didn't have any relationship when I hired the guy, but later on we developed a relationship. Well, either way, I don't think it looks very good for her to be on the case.
And I think the next step is that the Trump lawyers will go to the bar and have it taken care of there.
Yeah.
And this way the judge is out of it and doesn't have to...
He can wash his hands?
Yeah, he doesn't have to be the one that sets her off the case.
Yeah. You know, it would seem to me if she stays on the case, they have a good...
How can one lie and not the other one?
I
don't understand that.
I think they both lied. I think it's pretty clear.
They both lied.
Sure they did. Of course they did. And that's why I think in the long run, if she stays on the case, it actually benefits Trump.
Yeah, I do too. And the whole thing about the money trail, I don't keep receipts. I pay everything in cash.
Such a...
Is she a prosecutor
crock.
Or a drug dealer?
Exactly. Same with her boyfriend. Oh, no, we don't have any receipts. We just had cash. We kept it in the house.
I mean, you go...
We kept our cash in the... Where in the house did you keep the... Under the mattress?
Well,
in the attic?
See, that's what she said, that she kept large amounts of cash in her house. But at the same time, she said, I had to move from my father's house because I was afraid. So why are you telling people on the stand that you keep large amounts of cash in your house? I don't understand
that's
that.
That's the last thing I want to do is publicly tell you. Come on over to my house and find my cash.
When you go on vacation, you keep receipts because you always wonder if a credit card, I just brought cash.
Yeah, it made no sense. Everybody knows it. Everybody
cash
knows
king,
it. Yeah. By the way, it says up here, I'm looking at the Fox News web show, the Trump attorney says they're going to continue to fight to end this case. They're not going to give up on it. So, apparently, an appeal might be in order.
The one thing on that cruise that she said she brought cash for, I know for a fact, for incidentals and stuff, when you check in on the boat...
They don't want cash.
No, you have to have a credit card.
That's right.
You have to have a credit card.
That's right. They charge your card, you get the bill at the end as you walk off.
They deduct it.
There you go. Well, very, very interesting. We're going to be talking, of course, more about that later in the show, but let's do this. Can't wait to talk with Jessica Malugin. She's an old friend of ours from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk to her about this decision by the House of Representatives to force TikTok to divest itself from its Chinese ownership.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. Thank God it's Friday, right? And delighted to have our old friend Jessica Malugin join us. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about the attempt by Congress to force TikTok to divest itself from its Chinese ownership. Jessica, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing good. I think this is a very interesting case. I go back and forth, to be honest with you, on this one, Jessica. So the House of Representatives, by a large one-sided vote, 352 to 65, have approved a bill that calls for the parent company of TikTok, it's called ByteDance, to divest itself from the social media platform, or it can be banned here in the United States. What is your take on how Congress has come down on this issue?
Well, I mean, I think this would be a mistake, and I'll give you sort of my two reasons. You know, the concerns with TikTok go in two directions. One is that through TikTok and then through its parent company and then, you know, the rules that surround business ownership in China, that Americans might have their personal data exposed to the Chinese Communist Party. That's a legitimate concern. But the reason why this bill doesn't fix that is that all of that information is readily available for rather affordable purchase on international broker markets. They're data markets, and you can go buy them. We know you can go buy all this because U.S. spy agencies buy Americans' data from them all the time. There was a big piece in the Wall Street Journal about how all that works.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be a worry, but this bill doesn't solve it, right? If you get rid of that, and there's really not a lot of proof that that's even happened, but it could, and I get that concern. But the problem is this doesn't fix it. It just means they'll get it a different way. And then the other concern is that our fellow citizens and maybe our kids are getting exposed to communist propaganda on TikTok. And again, I'm not sure of the hard proof on that. You know, I see a lot of content on TikTok. I don't use it, but I have an employee who does, and we look at his frequently when we answer these questions. There's a lot of stuff about Tiananmen Square. You know, there's a lot of stuff that if the Chinese Communist Party were in charge, they wouldn't be showing you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the larger point there is this, you know, we're American citizens, and no one is in charge of the information we receive except us. And if we can be taken, if this great republic, the greatest country that's ever existed on earth, is going to get taken down by 15-second propaganda dance videos on TikTok, we have a much bigger problem, right? Like, during the Cold War, we used to translate the daily Russian Soviet paper into English so that U.S. citizens could see what was going on. Because we knew that America's strong, America's right, we're correct, and we weren't so scared of opposing opinions, right? And it's so strange to me that so many elected representatives think we can't handle it, right? We have this God-given, constitutionally guaranteed right to elect our leaders, but they think they need to start filtering what information we're exposed to. And I think that's wild and wrong. You know, if you don't like TikTok, don't use it. Don't put it on your phone. If you don't want your kids to have it, that's great too. But, you know, I respect that completely. But that's a lot different thing than saying, you know, you're not allowed to see this. Because part of free speech isn't just getting to say what you want. It's also getting to receive the information you want. That's a well-established point in First Amendment speech law.
Now
and to have Congress say no. That's a remarkably odd group of people to entrust with free speech, right?
Yes, you're right about that. I think you make a very good case. However, I have heard from the other side, what if a Chinese company came in and wanted to buy one of the major networks? Let's say they wanted to buy a CBS. Would you be comfortable with them buying CBS if it was a Chinese company?
Yeah, I have to say I would. I mean, I trust my fellow Americans to watch that and take it with a grain of salt, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know to be skeptical. We're really, actually, you know, Americans are nothing if not skeptical. It's one of our finest qualities, right? We're always sort of thinking, well, what's really going on here? And that's great, right? That's wonderful. And I don't think this is anything different. You know, we already have, like, there's Russian television. Those rules about foreign ownership don't apply to cable news, and they shouldn't apply to social media. You know, a lot of those regulations against foreign ownership on broadcasters are kind of left over, you know, decades and decades, years old, when there was a finite amount of broadcasting space. But that's not the case anymore. The internet itself is infinite. If you don't like what you're seeing on TikTok or think it's not true, you might be right. And there's lots of other places to go for more information, right? The cure to all of this is always more speech, not Congress deciding, you know, what we as Americans should be subjected to, what we can handle, and how it might hypnotize us into becoming communists. I mean, mm-hmm. I just think that's a really insulting argument to justify this stuff.
Fair enough. We're talking with Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, about the intercession of our government in the question of whether or not TikTok should continue to be owned by a Chinese company, or if they do not divest themselves, to be banned outright in our country. So I got a couple of other thoughts on this, Jessica. I'd like to hear your opinion. First of all, TikTok in China is apparently a totally different vehicle. In other words, the people in China do not get the same version of TikTok that we get. It seems like the version that we get, well, let's put it this way. In China, things are so restricted that, you know, the government is completely overseeing everything that anybody takes a look at. So that TikTok is different from the TikTok that we get. Are you comfortable with that?
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think it kind of proves my point in that, is that what we want? Do we want to emulate a government that is controlling what their citizens see? And, you know, I take their point. I'm sure the Chinese version of TikTok is in many ways much more wholesome. But the TikTok that we have in the U.S. is much more free. And another thing about it is the TikTok that we see here is the TikTok that we want. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole algorithm works by showing us what we want. I would love to live in America full of children dying to see STEM videos. God bless those kids among us. But the bottom line is that we let users decide what they see, right? And the algorithm responds to that. There also is, by the way, a U.S. TikTok version of STEM emphasis. There's an educational version you can use. But the point is, you know, social media is a reflection of society. It's not... There's some feedback, but it's not all about that.
Mm-hmm.
We pick what we want to see, and the algorithm gives it to us. if people don't like that, then what they have a problem with is their fellow citizens' preferences, not the company that's serving up what they want based on consumer demand. So for me, emulating China's approach, it's sort of like industrial planning, right?
Mm-hmm.
China does that too. Do we want to do that to compete against China? I don't think so, because I think the free market works better. And in the same vein, I think free speech works better. And I trust my fellow Americans to sort this out for themselves. I really do believe that's their constitutional right. And like I said, if you as an individual have problems with TikTok, by all means, don't use it. I don't use it. My kids don't use it for a host of reasons. But taking away that choice from people and the 5 to 7 million small businesses in the U.S. that use TikTok, that's a lot of damage and a lot of chipping away at our free speech freedom because we think, oh, maybe it's having a bad influence or let's make it a little harder for China to get information on us about, you know, like where what we're looking at and how much time we're online. There's other better solutions for those problems.
What about the and they bring this up all the time, ByteDance is actually controlled by the Chinese government, that they have to dance to the Chinese government's tune. They're joined at the hip with the Chinese government. They cannot do anything without the okay of the Chinese government when it comes to things like TikTok. Does that in any way give you pause?
It certainly does, in that we should all be aware of that, right? We should be looking at it with that in mind. But the Chinese government's particular interest in TikTok is also, by the way, to make money. And I think that if TikTok were just dripping with Chinese propaganda, A, Americans would know it and would be smart enough to take it for what it is. And B, I don't think that'd be much of a moneymaker for ByteDance or TikTok, right? The Chinese government's also interested in a strong economy. So what degree they have an influence over TikTok's algorithm, I have yet to see proof that it's any. But even if it was, you know, we're well aware of that. And I will say, maybe the silver lining to all of this is that even more people are aware of that. I can't imagine there are very many people out there who don't know that TikTok is a Chinese, you know, affiliated company at this point. So, you know, I just don't think that our belief in freedom and human dignity and all the values this country holds dear is so fragile that we can't be exposed to other ideas. You know, I reject those other ideas, but I think I can still benefit from the upside of things like TikTok and keep my ability to be a rational American voter intact.
Yeah, got it. Do you mind taking a comment or question here from my buddy Ed?
Let's go.
Jessica, here's a problem I've got with TikTok. If you jump on Facebook or Instagram or even YouTube, there are restrictions on there. Like one of our hosts one time said simply something like, since I've had the vaccination, I haven't been feeling good. And they were banned or at least suspended for a week. So there are things you can't go on there and say because they will shut you down, whether you agree with it or not. But here you've got TikTok that is telling immigrants or migrants, whatever you want to call them, illegals we call them here still, that are they broadcast on TikTok exactly where there is a nice hole in the wall or whatever to get into the country. And not only that, here's a phone number for a smuggler if you can't get through that they can get you through and you can make some money or whatever on. And that is clearly broadcast into the United States. How does that not fall under a threat to the United States?
Well, I think that the content itself might very well, you know, if the content that's being posted is illegal, that's certainly still illegal even if it's happening online, right? That's a matter for law enforcement, and I think the immigration issue centers more on what's legal and what's not and how people disagree with the state of things right now. You know, TikTok might be a facilitator for things that we would disagree with anyway, but just like TikTok, there's going to be content moderation decisions that every American disagrees with on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, all of that. And it's messy. But I would just say that those individual cases certainly don't justify banning an entire app. That kind of top-down solution isn't really going it's too much to pay to maybe solve some of these individual concerns.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking as you, because you're kind of convincing me. I'm thinking about, for instance, back in World War II or after World War II, there was an American Communist Party, and they were allowed to go around and exist. I mean, we couldn't outright ban the Communist Party just because we thought communism might be antithetical to our way of life. What we would say is, look, the communists want this, they want that, they want the other thing. So just beware if you become involved. Remember, we don't remember, but we remember in history that our country tried to hold hearings on people on whether or not they were communists or not. And that kind of, in the long run, kind of went over like a lead balloon, right? I mean, maybe you had a communist leaning, but that didn't mean that you couldn't be an American, right?
Exactly right. I mean, we see that the problem with that was suppressing those ideas, not the ideas, right? We won the Cold War. I mean, I still feel confident in the China context we will again. But that's because our ideas are better, not because we silence people who don't agree with us, mm-hmm. right? We're here in America to be persuaded and convinced and to think for ourselves. We're not here to shut everyone up that we don't agree with. That's not what we do. That's what China does. That's not what we do.
Let me just finally ask you this question, and I think you touched on it earlier, but I'm going to ask it again. Children are kind of a different category. We know that they need certain protections. We don't allow them to smoke cigarettes. They can't drive until a certain age. They, you know, all of the different rules that we put on children until they get to a certain point. They are the ones, a large percentage of these kids under 18 are the ones that use TikTok. And they are subject to being, can I use the word manipulated a little bit? So what do you say? What do you say
your
about
show, that? You can use any word you want. I would talk about it in a few ways. You know, we do restrict things that children are allowed to do, but I will just say, not to be legally persnickety, but speech is a little different. Physical harm things like smoking, driving, those are all a little different than they're being exposed to an idea. You have to just, it's not that there aren't some restrictions when you get to the really nasty class of things they can expose to, but it's just it's a little more complicated with speech. And the other thing is, you know, my money's on parents every time. I've never felt as a parent that the FTC protected my kids from anything or anything else. I'm in charge of my house, and if I don't want my kids on TikTok, they're not on TikTok. Buy them a flip phone. Don't get them a smartphone. Look at their phone. Have a conversation with them. And if they see something lefty, communist leaning on TikTok, I would hope that you would take that as an opportunity to have a conversation with them about that, right? Because, you know, every generation, liberty needs to be renewed. So let's talk about why those ideas, those communist ideas, have been responsible for millions of deaths and enormous amount of suffering in history. And let's talk about the American free enterprise alternative. I would say, you know, there's been a real lack of civics teaching in this country. And I put more up to that than I do TikTok's influence, where I think most kids are kind of goofing around on TikTok. They're not reading the little red book. But, you know, ideas need to be defended every new generation, and parents aren't off the hook from that. But that's always been the case on the right. You know, the entertainment industry culture has never been one that talks about the greatness of freedom. I mean, it hasn't been for a long time. So just like I'm still going to let my kids go to the movies and watch some TV, I'm just going to make sure that we're all talking about the great values that embody this country, too. So you can't shelter them forever, and it's every parent's decision where that line is, what they're ready to see. But I would just tell parents, you know, if you're worried about it, don't let them have it.
Yeah.
Look at their phone. Don't give them a smartphone until they're ready.
Well, we had more parents like...
Yes, I was going to say, I wish that we had more parents like you, Jessica.
I wouldn't worry about TikTok.
But that's,
thank you. I'm just going to take that as a compliment. You should, guys, indeed. Friday, and I needed that.
There you go.
So I'm just going to take it as a compliment and leave it at that.
The only other woman I feared was my mother.
That's correct.
Well, you know what? You respected her. That's why.
A good mom.
All right, Jessica. It is always a pleasure. You lay out your case superbly. Thank you so very much, as always.
So much fun to be with you guys. Have a great weekend.
I'm gonna go join TikTok.
Thanks, Jessica. We'll talk soon again, I hope.
Thanks.
All right. Jessica Valugin. Oh, my goodness. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, are automakers tracking your driving habits and then sending the info to your insurance companies? Oh, my God. It looks like they are in some cases. We're going to talk about it.
Losing weight without speed eating sunflower seeds. Drinking lots of carrot juice and soaking over it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Friday, a lot going on. There's some things going on here in Florida as well. I got a couple of stories going on. One is connected to this crisis in Haiti. And I imagine some of you have heard about this. There is a plan. First of all, there's a bunch of Haitians who want to get the hell off their island, and a whole bunch of them that want to come into Florida, whether they come by boat or whatever. And Governor Ron DeSantis wants to make sure that we don't have a bunch of Haitians that are popping out of some of these jails over there, because they're releasing all of these people in Haiti. It's becoming a real mess over there, and coming here into Florida. But anyway, the head of Haiti has resigned and left. A plan to create a transitional presidential council in that Caribbean country seems to be moving forward. Though the country, which is, by the way, connected on its east by Santo Domingo, is teetering on collapse. Caribbean officials say a majority of Haitian parties and coalitions submitted the names of those charged with overseeing the transition. A bunch of leaders, along with our own Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, met earlier this week in Jamaica to address the Haiti problem. And they've announced plans to create a council of 9 members that would kind of oversee the things that are going on over there. In the meantime, they got this guy, Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier. What a name, Barbecue. Ooh, I don't think I'd like to be on his bad side. He's the leader of an alliance of gangs in Haiti, threatening political leaders who take part in this council. And secondly, I want to talk about the Florida legislature has unanimously passed a bill that would allow police to immediately remove squatters from homes. You know, the kind of people that get into somebody's house, and once they're inside the house, they use all kinds of legal maneuvers to stay there. let's say that you you're trying to lease, you have property that you're trying to lease, or you have a house you're trying to rent, and a squatter gets in there, and all of a sudden they refuse to leave. Well, the legislature in Florida passed a bill, both chambers, allowing police to immediately remove squatters without a lease authorized by the property owner himself. And under the current law, landlords typically have to go through a long and expensive legal process to remove them. So I think that's good news. Anyway, we've got our two, both of them. The Ceresi brothers are with us, our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo Ceresi, and the Master Barber, Andrew Ceresi. Guys, welcome to Freedom Works. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Fannie Willis? You want to talk about squatters? You want to talk about Haiti? Go ahead.
First of all, you got to tell me, Andrew, you were right, because I told you what that judge was going to do. He was going to get her off. I don't like this ultimatum bullcrap, Paul.
Yeah, I know.
I would say, Andrew, you were right.
Andrew, you were half right.
I knew I'd get that one. I knew I'd get that. And then you know what else, Paul?
Yes, sir.
You know what else I'm adding to my list?
Yeah.
Now we got McAfee and McDaniel and McDonnell and McCarthy. I want to know what's with that MC at the beginning of a name causing all this trouble.
Yeah, is that Scottish or Irish trouble?
I think it's Irish.
Yeah, Andrew's, it might be
not
Irish.
Andrew's not celebrating St. Patrick's Day this year. I'm going to tell you that one right now.
Well, I tell you what, I was a bit surprised, but then again, I was not surprised regarding McAfee, the judge. You know what? He's up for election. He's trying to walk a tightrope. He says, okay, Fannie, you can stay, but your lover boyfriend, prosecuting attorney, has to go. If he doesn't go, you both go.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So, you know, she's going to say.
Unbelievable.
So, here's the question. If you allow Fannie Willis to continue on this, to oversee this case, I think it's good for Donald Trump. I think it makes it even easier for him to get off.
Well, it should be, but you can see how it goes. They need to get rid of the judge is what they need to get rid of.
Yeah, I think he's. I think Fannie Willis obviously lied on the stand when she said
through her teeth.
She lied through her teeth about when her relationship started. Her relationship with this guy that she brought on started before, not after. And the judge knows it. Everybody knows it. It's a big wink and a nod. What do you think, Angelo?
Well, you know, like you said, he's walking a tightrope. He's running for re-election. And even Jonathan Thurley, he was on the news there this morning saying it's very disgusting the way these judges are ruling on these cases. I mean, you know, Fannie Willis, she went on record stating that she's running to get rid of Donald Trump, right?
Yeah, no, she made a big point of it, yeah.
And the judge should have just disqualified her from the get-go. She should actually be impeached as the district attorney over there. But, you know, Atlanta, forget it. That's not going to happen, right?
Well, she's going to be up for election, I think, too.
Yeah, but the Trump lawyers are going to go to the bar next, and they're going to try to get her disbarred for lying.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were Trump, and I got on the stand, and she was going to cross-examining me, I would answer everything as, I paid cash only. My cash is in my house. Cash is king. Every answer would be that. It works for you, it works for me.
It's unbelievable that this judge is allowing her to get away with this.
Well, he gets the easy way out. He's not the man that put her out the door, because he's up for re-election.
Right. I mean, these people that are running for re-election, they're, you know, instead of thinking what's good for the county or a country or whatever, all they care about is themselves keeping the nut job that they have, you know? They're all egotists, these people that want to stay in these jobs. You know, I mean, here's a judge that you know he shouldn't have ruled that way, but yet this is the way he ruled so that he could try and keep his job and stay as a judge out there.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And Fannie Willis, running on a campaign like that, automatically should be disbarred and removed from the district attorney's office. I mean, you know, how can you, so biased and everything like that, you're going after an individual and you're already convicting them while you're running for office. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I think if she stays on, I'm telling you, I think it's to Trump's favor.
Well, I hope so. I hope the American people see this. I mean, because
the American people are half blind, believe me.
Well, half of them see it one way, you're right about that, and half of them see it another way. Hey, I want to bring up something, speaking about the American public and the voting. And I heard this, I think it was yesterday, and it scares me a little bit. I mean, we are all here, all of us that are talking amongst each other here, and we feel that Donald Trump should be the, you know, should, he has a good chance of winning the election in November. But I was listening to this Republican say, boy, oh boy, oh boy, you people don't understand that the Democrats have something going that the Republicans do not, and that is the process of this voting situation. They get out the vote. They're going to be going up and down the blocks in all these cities across the country. They're going to be gathering all of these votes, and they're going to be stuffing them into the, you know, they're going to be bringing them to the precincts. And the Republicans don't do that. And even though we think that, you know, Republicans, you know, have the majority this time around, you watch, he said, you watch how the Democrats, they're going to do it again. They're going to come up with all of these votes that, you know, that they've collected, because they get out there and they make sure every single person that's a Democrat in these inner city areas, that they get a ballot out of them.
Well, that's why they push that mail-in ballot thing.
Yeah.
And ballot harvesting.
Yeah, ballot harvesting. That's the thing to worry about, guys. I mean, we might be in for a big, big surprise in November. Go ahead, Andrew.
We could be. But you know what? In my barber shop, I can't tell you how many men bring their ballots in to me and ask them who they need to fill these things out, because they have no clue of what's going on. And you know what I tell them? I'm right there when they fill them out with them.
Yeah.
I'm doing what they call their ballot harvesting.
Well, you're not really harvesting. You're not collecting their vote and taking it over somewhere.
No, I don't take them anywhere.
They're asking you a question. You're allowed to tell them what you think.
Exactly. But, you know, Paul, let me. I don't want to change the subject.
No, change it. Go ahead.
But I've got some faith. You know, I've been having some problems with my roof in my house, with GAF Company. I got a four-year-old roof that's falling apart, and I've been fighting them for a new roof. And I finally got faith in somebody today that came by my house to help me out. This kid's name was Josh. He went up on my roof. The granules are falling off my roof. Every time it rains, my gutters are full. I mean, they're just falling off
my God.
Four-year-old roof.
Yeah, that's a bad roof.
GAF has been fighting me about putting a new roof on this. I've got five different people that have came here and inspected the roof. This one kid came today from Bay to Bay Roofing. Roof cleaning, because they said that they would pay to have my roof cleaned and serviced, right? GAF. Well, this kid came here today, and he is helping me out, sending the whole report to GAF to try and help me get a new roof. I can't believe that here's a company, because most people today I don't even trust anymore, especially with everything that's going on. But this kid, Josh, is trying to help me out with GAF, and I had to give him a big thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's terrible. The GAF basically sold you a shoddy roof.
Paul, I have had so many people. I've had the Pinellas County Building Inspector. I've had an independent roofing thing come through. I've been complaining to GAF. I've sent them samples of my roof, and they say I have mold on my roof. They'll get it cleaned.
Oh, wow.
This kid went up there, and he started laughing. He goes, you know, within the last 3 years, I have seen over 50 roofs have the same problem. They're all a GAF product.
Wow.
He goes, I cannot believe the inferior products we're seeing being manufactured in this country today.
Well, good for him, and I hope that you can get this thing solved, and that GAF owns up to the fact that you got a shoddy material from them.
I mean, I couldn't believe it, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, I see everything that goes on in this government today. I see businesses trying to take people all the time.
Yes.
And it amazes me. Is the whole world this way today? Is our country this way?
I think most people are not. I think most people are like Josh and you. You know what I mean? They want to do right by you, but there are always a handful. And and these big companies, you can't turn your back on them. I understand that.
I tell you, it makes me sick when I see my four-year-old roof falling apart.
Oh, absolutely.
It reminds me of our country falling apart in 4 years.
Yeah. Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Time goes by so quickly when I have you guys on. I wish we had more time to talk. One of these days, let's do a show where we're just the four of us, you know?
I told you, we're going to have to do a show live in the barbershop.
Yeah, it's time to
do. We're going to have to do a couple hours worth, which I'll take care of.
You know,
and
you
can see what the men are really thinking.
Yeah.
All right, buddy?
Let's do it. Absolutely.
You got it.
We'll figure it out, guys.
All right, Paul.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Andrew.
Take care, guys.
All right, buddy. There they go. Great guys. All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, whoa, the top 10 cities with the highest obesity rates.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows on podcast. You can choose the show you want, most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is and the topic with the guest and the top 10. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, promised I'd talk about this real quickly. A New York Times report says automakers are collecting driving data from customers and quietly providing it to insurance companies. And the practice has resulted in some unassuming drivers seeing their rates go up. Whoa! Car manufacturers like GM and Ford, tracking drivers' behavior through internet-connected vehicles, sharing it with data brokers like LexisNexis, and I guess it's pronounced Verisk, which create consumer disclosure reports on individuals that insurance companies can access. Now, they're only doing it right now with people that are apparently leasing cars and stuff like that. But this is kind of scary stuff, isn't it? If automakers are doing this kind of thing, is it going to get worse? I don't like that.
Well, when you're leasing a car, it's almost like renting.
Yeah.
I mean, because when the lease is up,
I don't know exactly how they do this, but they are taking data and sending it on. I don't know.
I mean, what kind of data? I mean,
yeah, it's.
My insurance went up, and I was going to switch companies, and they gave me this little thing to put my witchy jigger in the vehicle to monitor your driving habits.
Oh yeah,
and to see how fast you go and whatnot. It shows you on your phone and stuff.
Yeah,
it's saved me like a whole 38 cents or something like that.
Does it?
After a month's worth.
Well, it says the Times highlighted the case of a guy driving a leased Chevy Bolt who learned he and his wife's driving habits were being tracked when an insurance agent told him that his report was a factor behind their raising his rates 21%. All right. Anyway, I don't like that. Real quickly, sports news. Do we, the Lightning, they won the other night. What's going on with them?
Won last night against the Rangers. I think it was 6-3. They're getting down to the end of the season here, and they're having to watch the scoreboard in some of these games now. So it's getting down there.
Yeah, they're not like at the top like they used to be anymore.
No, no.
There's about three or four teams ahead of them.
If they get into playoffs, and they probably will, I don't think they're going to go far.
I just don't have the team quite what they used to have. Yeah. All right, fair enough, Ed. Time for our top 10. Interesting one. These are the top 10 cities with the highest obesity rates. This is a study that was done by Wallet Hub. They compared 100 of the most populated U.S. metro areas across 19 key metrics, ranging from percentage of physically inactive adults to future obesity projections and access to healthy food. So here we go. The top 10 cities, highest obesity rates. Number 10, Chattanooga, Tennessee. With a obesity rating of 81.15. Number 9, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Southern, these are southern mostly, it looks like. And their obesity rate, 8128. Number 8, hey, they staying in Louisiana, Lafayette, Louisiana.
It's like Cajun cooking.
Yeah, must be fattening food. 81.64 in Lafayette. Number 7. Memphis. Yeah, Memphis, Tennessee, 81.65. Number 6, Knoxville, Tennessee.
All right, Southern cooking.
Southern cooking, Southern fried chicken, maybe. 81.71. Number 5, hey, right next door to Tennessee, Little Rock, Arkansas. Yeah, 82.31. Have you ever been to Arkansas?
No.
Okay. Number 4. Ever been to Mobile, Alabama?
No.
Well, that's number 4. They rank in the top 3 of the most physically inactive adults in the nation. 83.11. Number 3. Back to Louisiana, Shreveport. Oh. Yeah. Obesity crisis spans across all age groups there, with equal percentages of adults being overweight and obese. Number 2. Jackson, Mississippi. So far, every one of them has been in the Deep South. Jackson, Mississippi, the city records the highest percentage of children between 10 and 17 classified as obese. Health complications like strokes, diabetes, high blood pressure prevalent, painting a grim picture of the community's overall well-being. And their well-being is 84.58 out of 100 there. All right. It's not one of the states yet.
It's a different state.
It's not any of the states I've mentioned. You want to take any kind of... you'll never guess the town. You'll never guess it. But would you want to guess the state?
How about Kentucky?
That's as good
somewhere
as any.
Somewhere in that area.
That's as good as any. It's actually in Texas.
Huh.
It's McAllen, Texas. I'm not sure where it is. McAllen is grappling with severe obesity issues. 45% of its adult population classified as obese. This city not only records the highest percentage of obese adults, but also significant numbers of overweight children and teenagers, and their obesity rank is 85.54. So I don't know what's going on in McAllen, Texas.
I would have thought some of the northern states, you know, with the cold and people, you know,
you'd think
sheltering in place during the winter
would be sitting and eating more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Ohio finally got in the list, but it was up there a ways. Mm. Here in Florida, number 71 on the list out of was Orlando. Number 78 was Tampa. Mm. So, and number 83 was Jacksonville.
Mm.
No, number 81 was Jacksonville. Number 83 was Miami. Okay, there you go. So Florida, not so much.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Be safe. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. Donald Trump's lawyer says they will continue to fight to end the Georgia election interference case. Today, a judge ruled the DA, Fannie Willis, can stay on, but she has to remove a special prosecutor who was linked to her romantically. Trump has accused Willis of misconduct. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
He found the appearance of a conflict of interest. He found that Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade should not be on the case together. but that the office and she, if she chooses, can continue with the case.
Scott Grubman is an attorney for a Trump co-defendant, Kenneth Chesbrough.
Personally disappointed. I disagree with it. I found it interesting that Judge McAfee made pretty clear, I think, that he thought Fannie Willis was lying on the stand, that he thought Nathan Wade was likely lying on the stand.
At least three people are dead after storms packing tornadoes rolled through parts of Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. Sheriff Randall Dodds says there's a lot of damage in his county west of Columbus.
We have a lot of homes that are down. We have entrapment. We are conducting the searches. What we've run into, though, is being able to gain access to those places because the trees down, power lines down. We've had gas leaks. We've had some fires.
Reporter Clay Gordon of WBNS-TV, Columbus.
A reported tornado ripped through a trailer park. First responders at the scene say the damage was extensive and are calling it a mass casualty event. They reported at one point a shortage of ambulances.
Just over 2 feet of snow fell in Denver, causing travel woes on highways and at the airport. Power outages too, but some are glad to see it.
I love the snow. I have no complaints. I love the snow. The other thing I don't like is the shoveling.
The father of a school shooter now faces up to